Our church has for many years now supported John Musgrove. Most of you know him. He has family here in our area, in our church. I like the long-term stability that he has demonstrated in sticking at it for a long time. I went back and picked one of these up. If you don't know him or aren't familiar with him, we usually have a supply of these in the back, and he'll bring us some more, he said. So I just urge you to... You hear these phrases, this person needs love too, but missionaries need love too and encouragement, you know, get one of these and put it on your refrigerator, wherever you post stuff, and be thoughtful, you know, pray for our missionaries. It's long term and it can be discouraging and it can be hard to keep at it. And I know because I've been in that world for a long time, but, deep-seated issues in culture, the Ukraine right now, you know, if you follow the political scene, a lot of unrest, a lot of unsurety, all the people aren't sure what's going to happen between Russia and them and the power plays. And when you're the little kid on the block, it's not easy to survive. But he's got a lot of wisdom for us. Appreciate his gentleness and his long-term faith in serving there in the Ukraine. The first time I met him, and I had to introduce him, I made the most fatal mistake that anyone can ever make in introducing someone from the Ukraine. It is not even, you know what political incorrect is? Well, that was me. But, you know, I hadn't been prepped for this. I said he was from Russia, which is, it's just not a good thing to say. And you know what, afterwards, he didn't kick me in the shins or anything. There was a slight glare to it, but, you know. And it's kind of like telling somebody how to spell your name. Oh, do you mind if we spell it my way? You know, but he has forgiven me, I think. And so welcome, John, and thanks for coming. And thanks for your faithfulness in the Ukraine.
Can you hear me okay? All right. It's great to be here this morning with you. And I just love and appreciate you guys. Finland Soul Fellowship has a special place in my heart. So thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Sasha Zebra, his family and other staff, say hi. And also the other staff, the church is a part, the ministry of other staff. Yurik and another Sasha, they say hi. And... I'm in Ukraine with Campus Crusade for Christ, for those that don't know, grew up in the area. And but this morning I just want to share some thoughts coming from Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, dealing with motivation to continue serving God when we really don't see results. And I'm going to talk about a guy, his name is Yasha, a guy that I've mentored. And these are some thoughts that I've shared with him and with myself. And so, but before I go on to that, many people have asked, yes, the war in Ukraine continues. It's still going on. This is the fifth year for the war in Ukraine. And that war impacts all of culture and society and also the Christian culture. Many churches in eastern Ukraine, in the occupied territories, they've been taken over by Russian soldiers and turned into barracks that house Russian soldiers. So the war in Ukraine is still a major issue and impacts the Ukrainian society and culture. And on a weekly basis, 2, 3, 4 soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers are killed, and also civilians are killed on a regular basis. But God uses that war to draw people to himself. But I want to share with you some ideas that God gave me from the Apostle Paul that I shared with one of the guys that I mentor. And this guy, his name is Yasha. So there's a probably a five-month period of time that I'd talk with Yasha. We'd talk on a weekly basis. And he'd always, when I'd talk with him, he'd share about his ministry involvement, and he'd say, or further ministry involvement, and he'd say, pray about it. And because when he lived in the dorm, he shared the gospel. He went to all 52 rooms in his dorm and to share Christ with his fellow students. And one student, his name is Dennis, became a Christian, and he was discipling him. And Dennis, just like him, would even preach at church every now and then. And then also God used Yasha to find another student, Vlad, who was already a believer. But God used Yasha to get Vlad involved in sharing his faith. And but yet Yasha suffered from wanting to see more results. I sometimes call it the disease of wanting to see more results. And he would suffer and get frustrated because he'd want to see more results. He went to every room in his dorm. But in my opinion, God was at work in Yasha's dorm and he's at work in his university. But Yasha was questioning, you know, what's going on? Where should I be? So during that 5 months that we'd talk and he'd share these doubts, questions with me, I'd listen to him. I'd share scripture with him and pray with him. And yet for about 5 months, he questioned, should I continue being involved in ministry? Or if so, which ministry? And then finally, this last February, he told me that he and his team of students that he had, they were all college students, they decided they would work with children instead, which is also a great ministry. But for me, it was disappointing since I work with students, and I could see his talent and the gifts that God had given him. And in Ukraine, it seems like one of the biggest reasons that our student leaders stop being involved in the ministry because they expect to see more results than they do. I work with student leaders and volunteers, helping them to create spiritual movements among students. And a lot of them, they want to see more results quickly. And even sometimes they feel pressure from their churches, from their pastor. Because their pastor's like, well, where's the fruit? You're spending time with these non-Christians in the dorm. But where's the fruit? And so they can be frustrated, like, where are you working? How? And it seems it's very easy for these students to lose heart and begin to let their results direct them as opposed to letting faith direct them. And also, so maybe you've been praying for a coworker, a family member, a neighbor. Maybe you've been praying for them, trying to share the gospel to them, but you don't see any change in them. You don't see any openness in them. And you're wondering, God, when are you going to do something? And maybe you've stopped even sharing the good news with them or even stopped praying for them. And you're wondering, God, when are you going to do something? Or also maybe in the ministry you're involved in, maybe there's some difficulties and you're wondering, well, God, how are you going to be working? And wondering if it's worth it. And I'm also familiar with these ideas. And so these thoughts that I shared with Yasha and I'm sharing with you are also thoughts that God has used in my own life. And so I want to share just with you this morning briefly some thoughts from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. And like I said, these are things that I've shared with Yasha and myself. And I think they're important thoughts to hear on a regular basis. And I think these thoughts will help us with the motivation to continue to be involved in ministry, to continue to pray for someone, or continue to share the gospel when we feel like, why? I don't see any difference. So, but first let me give you a little background in dealing with Paul and the church in Corinth. The gospel was first preached by Paul in Corinth on a second missionary journey, which was about 50 AD. And Paul worked there as a tent maker with Aquila and Priscilla, and then preaching and teaching there for about 18 months, a church was established. And after he felt that the church was established well enough and grounded, then he continued on to his missionary journey. But of course, after he left, the church, different problems began to arise, and even their attitude towards Paul. And some false teachers came in, to the city, to that church, and they began to even poison their attitude towards Paul. And they even began to question his authority as an apostle and a teacher and his teaching. And in 2 Corinthians 4:1 and 4:16, it says, Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart." And then once again in 4:16, Paul writes, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." And I just think it's so interesting. Paul's words and his also life, his example, so not just what he writes, but his behavior provides a lot of motivation for me to be able to continue on. So I think he spent 18 months in this city building into the lives of these people, establishing this church, and he invested in them. And yet here he is a little bit later having to write them letters dealing with such problems as division in the church. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. You know, there's divisions, and he had to write them dealing with moral and sexual issues in the church. Legal, there's legal issues in the church. Issues dealing with marriage, food, improper participation in the Lord's Supper, and many, many more problems. And you think, he didn't give up on them. He continued to, you know, pray for them, write them, invest in them. When I think humanly, my flesh would probably say, that's enough. He spent 18 months living there, and yet somehow, you know, these false teachers came in, challenged his authority, his teaching, and yet he didn't give up. And so just think about how, and so when he says, we don't lose heart, I think he has the authority to also challenge me, Yasha, or you to not lose heart. Is he, I'll say, lived what he preached. Also, interesting, the Apostle Paul, as we know, he experienced a lot of suffering. Stoning, imprisonment, being shipwrecked, chased out of cities. You know, the list could go on and on. What more could there be to cause a person to want to give up? And yet, let me read in 2 Corinthians 4:8, 9, and 10. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry about in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body." And so when I think so often in our lives when difficulties arise, whether it's physical difficulties or family difficulties, emotional difficulties, we're ready to, you know, call it quits, stop, you know, just give everything up. But yet, so once again, see here, Apostle Paul, in spite of all these suffering that he experienced, he continued on. He didn't lose heart. He didn't give up, but he continued serving God. He continued to invest in these people here in Corinth and other cities. And also interesting how he understood that our current afflictions, they have eternal effects. And when you're comparing them to eternity, he was able to call them light and momentary afflictions. Let me read 4:17 and 18. "For light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal." And so when I would talk to Yasha, I'd try to tell him, you know, don't be focusing on the results right now. God will bring those about. Focus on your task of sharing the gospel with these students or with the children. Focus, be praying for them. Don't give up. And So, because it's very easy to give up. And another reason not to give up is because we walk by faith and not by sight. Let me also read 5:7. Once again, 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. So once he's, you know, said twice, don't lose heart, and twice, we live by faith and not by sight. And it's so easy to let results, whether there are results or lack of results, impact our lives. And but yet, you know, Apostle Paul tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. We came Christians by faith. We don't see Christ, but we believe that he is, that he saved us. It's by faith that we're saved, and we're supposed to walk by faith further. And so we have to trust that he's sovereign, that God is sovereign, and that he's going to draw people to himself. It's not our works that draw people to us, but it's his work, that he's the one that's drawing people to himself. Some of you may not even know the fruit or results of our labor for a long time. And so sometimes I tell Yasha, you know, be patient, trust God, he'll show you the results in his time. It may not even be until we get to heaven. This spring I had the neat experience, I think it was sometime in March, as at a office for the Baptist Union at a meeting for students, for training students. And a guy walked up to me and said, John, remember me? And fortunately, praise the Lord, I remember this person. I hadn't seen him in probably 21 years. When I lived in Donetsk, which is eastern Ukraine, which is now occupied by Russian forces, I helped this guy. He goes, you helped me come to faith. It's like, well, it's hard to remember everything. But it's like, okay. So he came up to me. We got to talk, and so neat to see that this guy is still walking with God. He's serving God, not just walking, but serving God. When he graduated from college, which is probably 1999, he moved back to his hometown. And a couple times when I'd went to his hometown, I had his address, and so tried to find him, went to that address, but no one had answered. And so lost contact with him. But interesting, later on, he got married. Now he has children, moved to a different city. And now he was there at that the Baptist Union office for a meeting for choir directors. Asked him, did you have any talent in music when you became a Christian? He said, no. But now God is using him to serve. He's the choir director at his church. And like 21 years later, I got to see that this person is still walking with God, still serving God. And so it was so special. And also when I think about just the idea of like being patient, trusting God that he's working, I think of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame. Now, all these people were commended because they walked by faith, even though they didn't get to see the results, but they were still trusting God for the future. And a couple other things in chapter 4 and 5 that Paul states that I think impacts me, and I shared also with Yasha, is how that Christ's love compels us. His love compels us to share Christ with other people. So in chapter 5, verse 14. Then he writes that those in Christ are new creation. The old is past and the new has come. And so in 5:17, I think, you know, I'm not the person I was before I became a believer. God has changed me. I'm a new creation now. And that gives me a motivation to press on with ministry, continue on when I don't see results. And I'd share that with Yasha. And then further in 5:18, another great verse, that God reconciled us to himself through Christ and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And so now we're ambassadors for Christ. It's like, what a special responsibility. So God reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then after that, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's like, and now I'm an ambassador for Christ. And all of this, I'm a new creation. And so this helps motivate me to continue serving Christ. And I'd share this with Yasha when he was going through a difficult time. And also, I find it interesting, Apostle Paul, in a lot of his letters, he mentions believers. At the end of his letters, he mentions other believers from other cities. And I think when he'd send that letter, whether it's to Romans or Corinthians, and there's those people, it's like, I think that was also provided encouragement for them. And so also, when I'd talk with Yasha, I'd tell him about how God is working in other cities through other leaders. And I still have contact with Yasha and also Dennis, the student that came to faith, and with their pastor. And I see how God is working through them to reach children and impact their city. But it's interesting how Paul would mention different people in his letters. And so when I would talk with Yasha, I'd also share these stories of what God is doing around Ukraine. And this last year, I got to meet a guy. His name is Alosha. He lives in a city that's very close to Donetsk, so very close to the war front. And he came to one of the training conferences that we have. And then in January, we agreed to talk on a weekly basis for about an hour each time. And I'd spent some time just mentoring him in different areas of ministry, and we'd spend time sharing prayer requests and pray. And so he was the youth leader at his church and working with college students. And it was really interesting. He had, talked with, after going through the training that we provided, and some students from his church went through it also. They decided to implement this training at their church, and basically, in the square of their city, they would create a little evangelistic event. And then they did it several times. And then churches and pastors in neighboring cities saw this. And so now he has a list of probably four or five cities, pastors in different cities that have said, Alosha, come to our city and help us, train us in evangelism. And so for me, it's very exciting just to see how God is using him, and how just took that decision to be involved in his life and say, hey, I don't want to just talk with you every now and then, but let's talk on a regular basis so I can mentor you in that. And since that, God has used him to impact churches in his area. And for me, once again, it's also special because it's close to the war front. And so God is doing something special there. And then this is another guy, Dima. I've been working with him for probably about 3 years. And he has been discipling students. He and his wife, they've gotten to see some students come to faith this last year. And they've been discipling them. And he has a good relationship also with his pastor. And it's interesting, a couple months ago, someone also from the Baptist Union said, Dima, we want your help in starting student ministries in other cities in the province. And so it's like for a long time, I think sometimes also Dima would struggle seeing with where are the results. Maybe they didn't see him, but other people saw that God was working. And so now also with Dima, there's other churches saying, come help us. And so God is at work. And I also want to so just encourage and challenge you when you think, God, are you doing anything? I don't see any results. God is at work. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Walk by faith, because we're his ambassadors. We're new creations in him, and he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. Also, just briefly, Sasha Zebraf, he would love to be here today also. He sends his greetings. And the ministry in Ukraine is going well. Like I said, the war, I think, has created openness, and the war is still going. Recently, we had presidential elections, and a new president was elected. He's a comic and an actor. And on TV, he plays a Ukrainian president, and people like what they saw. And so, but I ask that you'd pray for the country as they experience go through having a new president, and also as the country is still at war with Russia, so pray for that. And just also pray that in general, the ministry, that God would give us direction and wisdom, and also pray for Sasha as he gives leadership to the ministry as a whole. And but thank you for the opportunity to be here, and just invite you to walk by faith with me and together be Christ's ambassadors. So thank you very much.